Bankless Nation, happy second week of November. It is time for the Bankless Weekly Roll-Up, the Bangkok edition, or maybe I should say the all-time high edition, because David, we are at all-time highs again this week. How you doing, man? You're over in Bangkok, so we're doing this with a 12-hour time zone difference. It's very late for you. It's like still in the morning for me, but it's very late for you. How are you feeling?
Pretty good, yeah. I have, in the existence of Bankless, Ryan and I have never been as far apart ever in the world as we are right now. We are literally on opposite ends of the earth, which means there's only a small time window for us to record the weekly roll-up, because Ryan's got to wake up and I got to go to bed. And why am I in Bangkok? It's because it's DevCon week in the Ethereum community. DevCon happens every once in a while. 2 years ago was the last DevCon in Bogota in November. It is now DevCon week once again in 2024 in DevCon. So 20,000 people, Ryan, 20,000 plus people came to Bangkok. Yeah, quite a lot of people. There was a post on our Bangkok on Reddit saying, don't be alarmed about the invasion of crypto bros. There's just the Ethereum developer convention in town. That was like the top post on our Bangkok.
Yeah, I'm sure that's kind of alarming to some people. So, David, I got to check in with you because you've been on the ground at DevCon. I've seen some things popping out at of DevCon, including Justin Drake's Beam Chain plan. This was a proposal. Some folks were pretty excited. Some folks were not. So we'll talk about that. Also, all the other announcements that you've heard at DevCon. And, David, I don't know if you've noticed or you've been checking prices, but crypto markets have been on fire this week.
I have been checking prices quite a lot. I have checked my phone's prices at least a few times per hour, at the very least.
Okay, so we got Bitcoin all-time high, like 7 days in a row. This is unprecedented. Mm-hmm. The ETF floodgates are absolutely flooding, and they're even buying ETH. We got some good numbers to report on
ETH
that
side. ETH is out of the hole.
It's out of the hole. It's into positive land. And Coinbase, the app, is trending on the App Store. So that is a sign of
retail
things to come.
Which is our first sell signal. Start counting them. Because I remember last bull market, it was like infinite sell signals for a year. And this is our first one. The clock has started. The sell clock has started.
All right, fine. We're just getting started, though, but still the sell clock has started, according to David. And I got to update you on this. So the FBI raided the house of the Polymarket CEO, Shane. We were just talking about Shane last week. Mm-hmm. What is going on here, an FBI raid? We'll talk about all that and more. But before we do, we got a shout out to our friends over at Legion. What's Legion building, David?
Yeah, as we are in the world of making crypto great again, Legion is trying to bring back a very tried and true mechanism for distributing tokens. We all know the ICO kind of had this weird phase in 2017 where it got very popular a little bit too quickly. Legion is trying to make merit-based MiCA compliant ICOs a thing. Public token sales. We like public token sales. I like to. That's my opinion. But now we are trying to make them great again in 2024. And with the Legion score, which is the thing that Legion is bringing to the table for all of you individual investors in the world of the EU or accredited investors in America, if you can also want to join, you can get to have a Legion score, which will tell a project that you might be interested in investing in your worthiness for being included in such a project. So you can get graded on your on-chain degenness, your developer chops, your clout to rate you as a potential angel investor in an ICO that is run on Legion. And so startups can pick and choose, and hopefully you get selected. So you can go to Legion and get your Legion score and potentially invest in some Legion ICOs, MiCA compliant ICOs, at bankless.cc/Legion.
And everybody should go do this. Even if you're not an accredited investor in the US, you could still get a Legion score today and you could share it on Twitter. See how you scored. See how it compared to David or myself or somebody else in your community. Just, you know, cloud it up here. David, let's talk market prices. We've got an all-time high for Bitcoin, the highest Bitcoin has ever been. What are we looking at on the week? What's the growth here?
Yeah, we started the week at the so low price of $76,000. And we are up 16% on the week, almost 17% on the week.
We started the week at an all-time high. We ended the week 17% up, also an all-time high. This, like, to think an asset that's over $1 trillion could grow by like 17% in a week is like absolutely mind-blowing. Bitcoin is just like crushing it. Is this all on the back of like the Trump news and everything going on there?
Yeah, it's got to be. And I think there's conversations out here that are alluding to this, but people are starting to think that like the war of the nation state fight over Bitcoin is like starting to happen. I don't really know anything. I don't know any federal
reserves
or governments. What that means is that, you know, the tug of war, there's only how many Bitcoins are there? 21 million.
I see.
Donald Trump, the man who just got, you know, elected for the next president of the United States, has said that we're going to make a Bitcoin treasury. Like, some of the writing is on the wall that some people are alluding to that, well, what if this kickstarts the nation state tug of war over the 21 million Bitcoins? Not that much Bitcoins. What happens? Price goes up. But what's the price happening this week? Well, it's all the degens front running that. And probably, you know, hedge funds, people coming in externally, a lot of external capital, I would assume. The new all-time high price, $22,450. Excuse me. $92,450. That was hit on November 13th, which was, again, pretty incredible. A 16% day for Bitcoin is a good day no matter what. But when that was on the backs of another like 10% week prior to that, it's pretty damn crazy.
Yeah, it's actually – Bitcoin on the 11th of November had its largest absolute value daily move in terms of like, you know, total number of dollars price increase up. In one single day, it moved $8,343 in one single day. And that's the highest ever. The last record was set in 2021 when it had a $7,576 day. Okay. So these are really big moves. We're talking about hundreds. Tens of billions of dollars and like potentially hundreds of trillions in kind of a week time, and all of that in one day. I remember when the price of Bitcoin was like $8,000, David, and it just did that in a single day.
Right.
Another flippening actually happened, which people like Dan McArdle have been waiting for, which is the Bitcoin flippening, which is the Bitcoin flippening of the asset silver on the charts, David. So
deserved.
Deserved.
Honestly, what is silver even doing there?
Silver, in case you're tracking this, which you know, the top assets by market cap certainly is, silver weighs in at about $1.7 trillion. And of course, this has been a store of value, a monetary unit of account and store of value in the past with, you know, previous civilizations. It wasn't too long ago, you know, the end of the 1800s,
yeah,
the US was even it was bimetallism. They were having kind of like debates about whether the U.S. should be on a silver or gold strategy, or kind of like, you know, split the difference, do a little bit of both. Anyway, Bitcoin has now flipped silver at a $1.7 trillion market cap. It is the eighth largest asset on the list of all top assets. It's still got a ways before it hits gold, okay? So gold is clocking in at $17 trillion.
Perfectly a 10x away from gold. We are at $1.75 trillion Bitcoin market cap, and gold is $17.3 trillion market cap. We are a perfect 10x away from gold right now.
Okay. Do you think it happens this cycle, David? You want to call a gold flipping this cycle?
Bitcoin doing a 10x? Bitcoin's got a lot of weight, dude. The eighth biggest asset in the world doing a 10x from here? That would put it at $900,000.
Yeah.
To flip gold in this cycle. Yeah. $900,000. It's extremely expensive Bitcoin.
It feels like that would take some central bank buying in order for that to happen. Yes. Some big nation state buying. But yeah.
How do you think gold got to be the number one? It's because it's on the central bank's balance sheets.
100%.
What did I just say? The nation states are starting to do the whole nation state tug of war.
But David, that took thousands of years. We're talking about this playing out in like 2 decades. That would be absolutely insane.
Hey.
Anyway.
Hey, we're accelerating.
Mike Novogratz is feeling so good. He is on CNBC. No, he's on Bloomberg Open Interest, looking like Steve Jobs here. You see Novo right there, looking in the black rim glasses and the black turtleneck. So he is predicting not quite $1 million Bitcoin, but he's predicting $500,000 Bitcoin this cycle. So a little bit short of flipping gold, but
50% of gold
within range. Let's hear what he said. Here's his clip.
I think Bitcoin heads to 500,000. Again, it's a whole different paradigm because it forces every other country in. Countries are already buying it. I've got a dear friend, the guy that actually turned me on to Bitcoin in 2013, who's in the Middle East right now, and he said he's never seen anything like it. He's convincing more people to buy Bitcoin in the 3 days he's been there than any time in his whole career. And there are huge pools of capital. And so we're seeing something globally. When Trump advocated in Nashville that he was going to be a crypto president, a Bitcoin president, and now he's the president. Let me tell you, other leaders heard that.
There you go. He's making the same case that you were making. Other leaders heard this. Do you know the country of Bhutan has $1 billion worth of Bitcoin? They've been stacking in the background. I just saw that this week. It just crested $1 billion. So there are some countries that
Bhutan,
have been...
Bhutan, El Salvador. You know, what do you think's next after those countries? What country comes after that?
I think it could be the United States of America, David. At least they're probably not... They're probably not going to be selling the 200,000 Bitcoin they still own, at least post January. Yeah. Okay, let's check in on the silver to Bitcoin's gold, maybe second place anyway, which is our friend Ether, the asset. How's little ETH doing on the week, David?
Hey, you know, we broke 3K, buddy. Ether starting the week at $2,850. Got all the way up to prices seen plenty of times before. Currently clocking in the week at $3,150. Hit an interweek high of $3,400. Like I've said, we've seen that price. We've seen the price at least 800 times. Up 10% on the week.
Do you want me to give you the bull take on this?
Sure. Yeah. Fuck yeah.
It's room to grow, David. We got lots of room to grow. Okay. Bitcoin did an 8K day one day last week. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. This is how all cycles start like this, right?
Yeah,
like first Bitcoin and then Ether. This is what we saw in 2020. First Bitcoin broke all time highs. It took Ether like 3 months to hit all time highs. And then the ratio
right
did something crazy. Yeah.
Right around
the corner. Totally seen this before.
Well, yeah. Like we're just waiting for our 8K day when Ether moves 8K in a single day.
Exactly.
That'd be great.
Yeah, that's like, 2025, right?
Okay, well, actually, there is some good news on the ETF front with Ether. In fact, why don't we just lead with Ether on this? Because it is actually fantastic news. You know that thing we've been tracking, which is net inflows into the Ethereum ETFs? And every single week we've been tracking since the summer.
And it has
since
looked
the Ethereum ETF,
like dog shit.
It has looked terrible. Okay, so like...
It started off like there was a crest of hope, It started off okay, and then the flows
brief.
Just kept on coming. The flows out of Grayscale and the flows into iBit and Fidelity was like, okay, but like,
okay,
not great.
Okay. So just to recap this, like I remember looking at this bottom line number of like net inflows on Ether, and it's been ranging basically mostly negative 400 million to like
it
negative
500
negative million.
600. It got up to negative
600.
Yeah, it did.
Oh my God. That was ugly.
I ever saw it. Yeah.
And we kept checking it every week and we're like, making grimace faces and like,
I guess we have to report
good.
On this.
Okay. And some context for this, of course, is ETH, just like the Bitcoin ETF. So Bitcoin had a Grayscale trust product. It had to outflow into the lower cost ETFs. That was part of the outflow process, but its inflows have more than compensated it, right? So there's been net buying pressure on Bitcoin. Ether is the same thing happening. Basically, there was net outflows out of the Grayscale ETF. You knew that bleed was coming, but the hope was that other inflows into the other ETFs would more than compensate, and it's been net negative to this point. That's what we're talking about with the inflows. Okay, now, the good news. Okay, for the first time, this is the first weekly roll-up, we can report that net inflows into the Ethereum ETF are now positive, and not just positive.
Very,
like,
very positive.
Very positive.
Bigly positive.
Read out these numbers,
dude. We wiped out the entire hole in a single week. Okay, no, when was the election? On November 5th? Yeah, November 5th?
Yeah, something like that. Yep.
Okay.
Wait, was it?
The day after the election, the 6th, 52 million. The 7th, 79 million. The 8th, 85 million. The 11th. Woo! 295 million.
What?
The 12th, 135 million. The 13th, $146 million for a total positive net inflows of all time in the Ethereum ETFs. Positive 241 million. You did it, Ether. All it took was one week. 1 week. 4 months of digging that hole, and it all just got erased in a single week.
There you go. Now we expect that number to stay in the black. For like this cannot
That's
go
not
red
going,
again.
We're not going back. We're not going back.
We'll quit the roll-up if this happens. We'll quit reporting this happens.
Yeah.
Quit bankless. I'll leave.
But also, we also have to give his credit to the Bitcoin ETFs. Also very large. Can we flip over to the Bitcoin ETFs? Interestingly, on the election day, the 5th, Bitcoin actually had $116 million of outflows, but 620 inflows the next day.
Wow.
1.4 billion the next day, 293 Oof. Million after that, 1.1 billion after that, 800 million after that, 500 million after that. Painting in some numbers. $1.4 billion on a single day is pretty incredible on November 7th. Wow.
These are pretty big days. One of those days, Ether may have had like about 30% of that inflow volume. So, nothing to compare. This is cute. This is measuring the billions here. Okay, so now go compare it. The iShares Bitcoin ETF, that's the BlackRock ETF, it's now surpassed iShares Gold ETF. Okay.
Wow.
It did this in 10 months.
ETF is bigger than the gold ETF. Wow.
10 months. The iShares Gold ETF from BlackRock was launched in January 2025. That's how fast it's happening. We already got the ETF flipping on the Bitcoin side of things. So again, you know, Bitcoin just can't let Ethereum have any glory here. It's just like it's stomping these numbers.
Well, the Ether ETF flows will start to beat the Bitcoin ETF flows when the Ether price ratio starts to also beat the Bitcoin price ratio. That's just logic.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, that's logic. When's that happening, David? When's that going to start happening?
I don't know, man. All right. We almost had it this week, but then got erased.
Well, this is so Balchunas, you know, chiming in saying Ether ETFs had the best day ever in flows yesterday in the week, almost above water in the year to date. That's what he was saying. Now we are above water, trending in the right direction, he said. So, you know, that is cute, as you say. Meanwhile, the IBIT, BlackRock Bitcoin ETF, just had its biggest volume ever with 4.1 billion traded. Not only inflows, David, we're seeing some heavy volumes. This is like more volume than stocks like Berkshire, Netflix, or Visa saw.
And if you're noticing a sense of jubilance or euphoria, that might be true. And that will be noted by the fact that Coinbase is now the number one app in finance and the number 13 in the entire App Store. The Coinbase ranking in the Apple App Store has been one of the stronger sell signals that we've had in cycles past. Now, Coinbase stayed in the top five of the Apple App Stores for many months in 2021. But if you had sold during any of those months in 2021, that would have been an advantage selling point.
I mean, I feel like, sure, it's a sell signal kind of later, but like we just entered this. Like what this signifies really is like the question that we've been asking for a long time, is retail here? Are you getting texts from your like normie friends being like, oh, it's crypto. Are you still in crypto? Like, let's meet over coffee. Right. Like those kind of texts. That's an indicator that retail is here. And this kind of data set, which is like how, you know, trending is Coinbase, the app in the App Store. And I think that like we have to get this to number one in total apps. And then you start to see, okay, this is like, this is FOMO territory. This is like hype territory. Retail is really here and they're buying in size.
Well, look at the number of the apps. Number one, Coinbase. Number two, Robinhood. Number three, Cash App. Number four, Crypto.com. Like, those are all crypto apps.
That's in the finance category.
In the finance category.
Yeah. Overall, though, Coinbase is just like one slot below McDonald's overall. So I don't know what that tells you, but we're coming
for
you.
That's not a sell signal. That's a buy signal.
Yeah.
Sell when Coinbase above McDonald's.
ETH Bitcoin ratio, we got to be down on the week, right?
Yeah, we started the week somewhere around like 0.05, got above 0.04. We are currently back to 0.05. Sad. At least we're not below, though.
That's flat.
If you're below, that would be it's flat. It's flat with a big old Christmas tree in the middle.
Okay, I'll take flat then. That's fine. Total crypto market cap is 3 trillion, above 3 trillion.
All-time high in the total crypto market cap. How's that feel?
All-time highs. Look at that. That's
good. How's that feel?
It feels great, David. I'm feeling pretty good. I'm feeling like we got some exciting months ahead, quite honestly. I don't see signs of this stopping. I mean, there's not to say there won't be retreats. There always are, but no signs of stopping. Mm-hmm. Another indicator that I'm keeping an eye on, and I know you are as well, is like how much Ether is actually burning. So, you know, last week we talked about these cycles where Ether is kind of like on a net positive issuance cycle or it's on a burn cycle. And these things kind of happen in phases. And during bull markets, when Ethereum block space demand goes high, then ETH tends to burn. And it started to burn. So a few days this week, it's into kind of like the burn territory. And I'll keep an eye on whether this
continues. Been a while.
Yeah, and it's burning. Remember, it has two burn engines, which is interesting. Like last bull cycle, it didn't have these burn engines. The first burn engine is just like block space on Ethereum L1, right? The second burn engine is blob space. And both engines have been actually firing and burning more on the L1 side of things, but also blobs have been burning. So L2s are doing their part to contribute towards the burn as well. And I guess like my base prediction is, you know, everyone is in sort of the ETH has no value accrual. L2s are parasitic, right? And what will happen is in the months to come, when the burn starts firing and like L2 gas fees get more expensive, that narrative will switch to like ETH holders, ETH is just a rent extracting asset. Do you know? Like, it's just
the
like,
Ethereum layer one blockchain is extracting rent from its layer two blockchains. Oh, no.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. So this is what typically happens during these you know, burn type cycles. Mm-hmm. And I sort of anticipate the same. So we'll keep an eye on that, too. Just by way of recap, though, if you're keeping score, since the Ethereum merge over the last 2 years and 61 days, Bitcoin has inflated by 56 billion of Bitcoin, at least in today's value. Ether has had negative issuance, 328 million. You know, so you'd think that would matter. This, again, is the first bull cycle that ETH is not issuing very much. It's like still net deflationary, at least over the past 2 years. And issuance is like way down. You'd think that would matter at some point in the price. But so far, like even though ETH has had a couple of weeks, it's not keeping pace with Bitcoin.
And all of that burn, like you said, is largely due to layer one block space burn. Blob space has gotten just underway. The blob fee market is slowly creeping in. We have burned $400,000 of Ether in the last 30 days, which isn't a whole lot. But when you compare it to the 30 days before that, which was zero, it's starting to get priced in. I'll take it. And again, when like many layer twos are still just getting themselves like stood up, and there's also hundreds of layer twos that don't even exist yet, the plan for many, many, many layer twos is to all incrementally burn a small amount of blobs. And because there will be many layer twos, I actually expect in the not too distant future, blob space burn to surpass block space burn. That is the Ethereum roll-up centric roadmap in my mind, is blob space burns more than block space.
The funny thing about everything you just said is far less than 1% of all people in crypto actually understand what you just said. You know, this part of blob space burn versus block space burn, it's going to like one's going to flip in the other. I mean, this is deep stuff. Like it still remains a more difficult asset to understand.
Well, moving on to the extremely easy assets to understand, meme coins put in some absolute numbers this week. This brand new meme coin, or newer meme coin at least, called Peanut the Squirrel, was up a whopping 1,500% on the week. So congratulations to anyone who put a mere $50 into Peanut the Squirrel. Why it went up this week, I'm unfamiliar. I'm not in these particular trenches.
Oh, you don't know? Like, I would imagine this is the squirrel, like, swinging the election type meme, right? It's got to be something to do with that.
Yeah, but it happened so late. So the election, but that happened, a week ago. Why did it magically, like, start pumping on November the 11th? I don't know.
This is the number 55th asset. Largest asset in crypto? Yeah.
So it went from a market cap of $128 million to $2 billion in 3 days. So any of the holders of Peanut Squirrel just collectively made $1.8 billion in 3 days.
Dana, or David, what are
wasn't
we doing?
Wasn't you, though. Ryan? I bet you were not in this.
Why are we wasting our lives about ETH burn and like fundamentals and like issuance and all this stuff? We should have just bought Peanut the Squirrel.
Hey, man, I'm buying meme coins. I don't know about you.
Okay. Well,
I'm in the meme coin trenches.
Are you buying Doge? Because I had an exceptional like week as well.
I did buy Doge going into the election, so I'm going to pat myself on the back. I bought Doge trying to long the Trump victory and also Elon being the meme guy that he is. Doge is up 100% in 2 weeks, going from like 18 cents to 40 cents. Won't be long before we see a dollar. And this is all, of course, on the back of Trump tapping in Musk to lead the Department of Government Efficiency, a.k.a. Doge. Also with Vivek. So it's weird that like two people are leading up the Office of Government Efficiency. That doesn't seem totally right. Because this is happening, Doge has pumped bigly. But those are not the only meme coins that have pumped. Coinbase has been listing the meme coins. So Coinbase tweeted out, man's best friend with a hat, WIF, is now available for trading. And that was after they also allowed Pepe to trade on Coinbase. So both Pepe and WIF now trading on Coinbase for those who are owners of those. As a result, WIF added a casual $1.25 billion in its market cap, up 30%. Pepe adds $3.5 billion to its market cap, up 45%
on the
Coinbase listing.
It's so crazy. You know, like, I think the Overton window has really shifted in crypto, where, like, meme coins are totally within, like, acceptable range, right? You have Coinbase listing them. It's just basically, like, they're all pumping. You got people like Murad saying, like, this is the meme coin cycle. It's, like, it's all going up and, like, get in now. And so no one even bats an eye anymore. Like, there was a time where Coinbase listing meme coins, people would be like, what, really? Like, this delegitimizes the thing that we're doing. But, like, think about it from Coinbase's perspective. They don't want to miss out on fees. And also, like, these are not securities, quite clearly. Pepe is not a security.
They're very safe.
Yeah, very safe.
You seen that that meme of it's that girl watching a guy put the shaped blocks into the correctly shaped block, like, receptacle, and there's like a circle block, and you put the circle, and you see like he puts the first one in, and it's like a square. The square goes in the square hole, and he puts it in the square hole, and she gets it right. And then he's like, here's the circle one. But the problem with this device, I'm explaining a meme. I know I'm doing it terribly. He picks up the circle one, and then he's like, oh, you put the circle one in the circle hole. And he goes, that's right. You put it in the square hole, because they all fit. For some reason, whoever designed this like device, everything fits into the square hole. Doesn't matter what the size is. The triangle fits into the square. You can just rotate everything, and it fits into the square. And so there's this one meme where it's like, oh, what cycle? What are we going to rotate into next? Did you guess meme coins? That's right. We're all going back to meme coins. And then the other, like, circles are, like, one's, like, DeFi tokens, one's NFTs, one's, like, gaming tokens, and then, like, keep on picking up new shapes. So it's like, oh, it's meme coins again. It's always meme coins. It's always meme coins.
Okay,
we never get any rotation out of meme coins. Meme coins just rotate into other meme coins.
Can we make it? Can we spare just a little bit of liquidity for my 2021 NFTs that are, like, way underwater and, like, have lost, like, 98% of their value? Just a little bit. I'm not asking for a lot.
Punks got the bid. Punks got the bid this week. I don't know if you know this.
Really?
Punks are over $100,000. Yeah. I told you, you should have bought a punk in the bear market.
Oh my
punks
God.
Punks got the bid this week.
I should always follow your advice.
What
right?
NFTs do you even own?
Your advice. I could show you some things, David. You don't know about my, like, some of my 2021 wallets. We don't talk about
those.
That is
true.
Yeah, some nasty JPEGs going on. We got a lot more to talk about, including this. The Polymarket founder just got his home raided by the FBI, like, 6 a.m. in the morning. Thanks. Like, what is going on? Even Brian Armstrong is, like, saying WTF is this administration. Yeah, he did. First time I've ever seen it. Also, Justin Drake proposed the Beam Chain. I saw some reaction on mine side. Mm-hmm. You were there for it, so you got to tell me, and you got to give me the
I live tweeted it
on DevCon as well. All this and more. But before we do, we want to thank the sponsors that made this episode possible, including our recommended exchange to go ride this bull. That is Kraken. Go create an account.
If you want a crypto trading experience backed by world-class security and award-winning support teams, then head over to Kraken, one of the longest-standing and most secure crypto platforms in the world. Kraken is on a journey to build a more accessible, inclusive, and fair financial system, making it simple and secure for everyone, everywhere, to trade crypto. Kraken's intuitive trading tools are designed to grow with you, empowering you to make your first or your 100th trade in just a few clicks. And there's an award-winning client support team available 24/7 to help you along the way, along with a whole range of educational guides, articles, and videos. With products and features like Kraken Pro and Kraken NFT Marketplace and a seamless app to bring it all together, it's really the perfect place to get your complete crypto experience. So check out the simple, secure, and powerful way for everyone to trade crypto, whether you're a complete beginner or a seasoned pro. Go to kraken.com/banklist to see what crypto can be. Not investment advice. Crypto trading involves risk of loss. Uniswap wallet is officially the preferred wallet of Bankless, and it's the one we use anytime when we want to transact on-chain. Whether you're on your browser or on the go, Uniswap wallet makes it easier than ever to swap anytime, anywhere. Use your wallet to transfer funds directly from a top centralized exchange and tap in thousands of tokens across Ethereum and over 10 other chains like Base, Arbitrum, and Optimism. Uniswap wallet delivers deep liquidity, fast execution, and reliable quotes with zero gas swaps through Uniswap X. And when it comes to security, you can rest easy knowing it's backed by Uniswap Labs, one of the most trusted teams in DeFi. Their code is open source and independently reviewed, so you know it's protected. So why wait? Download the Uniswap wallet today on Chrome, iOS, and Android, and don't forget to claim your free uni.eth username directly in the mobile wallet. Start swapping smarter with Uniswap. tired of juggling multiple wallets and websites just to navigate Web3? Meet Magic Eden, the home of Web3. It is becoming a super DApp where you can do everything cross-chain all in one place. They're solving UX issues by building products across every chain ecosystem, swaps, borrowing and lending, NFTs, perps, and more, all seamlessly cross-chain. Instead of hopping between countless sites and handling multiple wallets, just use Magic Eden. Save time and get to the meme coining faster. Plus, the ME token is coming out this quarter from the ME Foundation. If you've used any of their protocols, like the NFT platform, you can claim some. So check out Magic Eden today and watch them become a super DApp and the home of Web3 in real time. You can get there at magiceden.io to get started. All right, Ryan, so I read this headline on Twitter in the middle of DevCon, and I couldn't like dive into it because I was in DevCon. FBI raids Polymarket CEO's Shane Copeland's house. Apparently, while he was like in bed, just chilling.
Like 6 a.m.
Yeah, I'm assuming. Yeah, so great. 6 a.m. The perfect time to be raided. Can you download me, please?
Yeah, okay. So I saw this breaking by route of a tweet, and it linked to this New York Post story. And the New York Post story goes like this. FBI seizes Polymarket CEO's phone, electronic, after the betting platform predicts Trump win, according to a source. Okay, so it goes through and it says what happened. So, of course, we've talked about Polymarket this entire cycle. We've talked about, you know, Shane, last week was kind of a glory week for Polymarket. Massive yep. success in terms of predicting election praise outcomes everywhere. In real time. Like, praise everywhere. Highest volume week. Like, so many things we've talked about, okay? So this is the guy, the co-founder. He's 26 years old. And I don't know if they knock on the door or they bash it in, but he was awoken from his sleep at 6 a.m. And the FBI, the details aren't out as to whether they presented a search warrant. I assume they have to in some way. I don't know all the details of this, but the net effect is they took his phone. They took his electronics. According to this article in the New York Post, they didn't tell him why. And according to a source as well, listed in this article, the source is not named, that there's some speculation that this was political retribution. Of course, I can't, we can't confirm that. We don't know. This has to go to trial. I have no idea why this is happening. And my first reaction to this, David, was like, that's weird. We don't have
that's
all of the facts,
nuts.
But it looks really, really bad. It looks, I'm not telling you this is what it is, but it looks like, as in it could be perceived as like political retribution. Okay.
Yeah. Occam's razor points there.
Okay. I'm not saying this is the case, but we're talking about, after 4 years of arresting and seizing property and threatening crypto founders, knocking out their banks, Operation Choke Point, 1 week after Trump gets elected, now is the time they decide to go raid Shane's house, the Polymarket co-founder. Like, why now? This seems very weird.
Yeah.
Even if this is not political retribution, even if they had a very, very good reason for this, the optics
it
here
looks
are
like it
absolutely
is.
Insane. The optics are
like,
absolutely
oh, you
insane.
Just discovered Polymarket the 4 days after the election. Like, weird timing.
Exactly. And according to another Bloomberg follow-up post, really the reason why is the Justice Department is investigating Polymarket for allegedly accepting trades from U.S.-based users, according to a person familiar
with this. But it already knew
this.
That. It already knew of that issue because they settled with the CFTC forever ago. So
yes,
again,
you remember
bringing
that.
Up that issue just a week after the election is also super sus timing.
Yeah, doesn't it seem like, of course they were going to give a convenient reason. They're not going to say, this is political retribution. They're not going to tell you explicitly why. They'll find a reason here. And to your point, you remember it was 2 years ago that the Polymarket settled an enforcement action with the CFTC and paid $1.4 million in penalty in addition to agreeing to block U.S. users. That's why we have the geo-block. That's why we have a VPN block against all of this. So what is going on here? Like, what's, again, tinfoil hat, couldn't be like, we could get too conspiracy theory with this. And of course, we don't know all the evidence. We're just observing something that's happening like a week after the election on the back of massive attacks on crypto. And it seems pretty suspect. What's your take on this?
I don't know Shane Copeland personally. I've never met him, never talked to him. But from what I've heard is that he just wants to build Polymarket. He has this grinds on Polymarket. What does he do? Last year, he built Polymarket. What did he do the year before? He built Polymarket. So the idea that there's anything extra that's nefarious, again, I don't know Shane, but like, doesn't check out. He's a founder who grinds. And again, timing, super sus. Like, what do they want to know? The only time that we've seen this also happen is like the Tornado Cash. So like, maybe there's money laundering through a Polymarket? Is that possible? Maybe.
Anyone can charge anyone
but why
for
now?
Anything. I don't know the exact way that this came about, but you can get a judge to allow FBI court order like with a very low sort of threshold, I would right. think, right? Mm. It's just like these could just be charges. And again, it could be enough that like, oh, we think that some US citizens are using Polymarket. You know, like, and evading the geo block and like using Polymarket. Right. And maybe they're acquiring his computer and this information to like find US citizens.
See if they knew that and were willingly markets. Taking a blind eye is like one possible answer.
Dude, it's wild. So this is what prompted Brian Armstrong, by the way, the tweet was since deleted, to say, like, he said, WTF is this administration doing? Right, because it looks like it's something coming from the administration. Again, we don't know for sure, but the optics aren't good at this point. Shane had like one of the greatest responses to this that I've seen. So hours later, after this news listed, he tweets out, "New phone, who dis?" He was like, he's got a new phone.
Got his phone seized, and he just goes and tweets with his brand new phone. Congrats on the iPhone 16, Shane. Well done. Congrats on the new phone.
Yeah, his comment, "It's discouraging that the current administration would seek a last-ditch effort to go after companies they deem to be associated with political opponents." So he's like calling them out here.
Oh, so he's saying it's political.
Yep. "We are deeply committed to being nonpartisan, and today is no different, wow. but the incumbent should do some self-reflecting and recognize that taking a more pro-business, pro-startup approach may be what would have changed the fate of this election. Polymark has provided value to tens of millions of people this election cycle while causing harm to nobody. We're deeply proud of that." You know, there's pictures of Shane with like Tim Walz. Have you seen this?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
he's gone
that.
To the campaign. I think he was like, I don't know Shane's politics, but like, he was definitely not a, kind of like full bandwagon on kind of the Trump side of things. I think Shane was trying to be politically neutral and like just provide a prediction
market
to
everybody.
Which is
a good position to have for a prediction market founder. And it's also, so we have 4 years of Trump who is like grateful to Polymarket. Polymarket heavily allowed the conservative right to get their voices elevated through the mainstream media because the mainstream media wasn't going to do it. So we know that the Trump administration favors Polymarket and they're in power for 4 years. So at least he has 4 years of being in the clear here. The Democrats, I get if this is political, you're going to see like people like Elizabeth Warren. I bet Elizabeth Warren hates Polymarket. I bet she doesn't like it at all. I bet she's going to start to come out and start talk negatively about prediction markets and them being a threat to democracy.
Well, imagine if this came in the week after Kamala Harris won. And let's say there was like a blue wave. That would really freak me out, honestly. Mm. I mean, because... it matters because like now it feels like post January, this type of thing is going to be alleviated from crypto founders. We're no longer going to have a hostile choke point regime, right? It's like, I don't know how you felt, David, but on the back of like 2, 3, 4 years of this, having seen our friends, builders in the space get like Wells notices, get arrested, get their property seized, get like harassed, get attacked by the administration, right? It felt like last week, I felt like, oh man, this feels like a boot off my neck or off
like
our
life.
Neck. Yeah. What we're doing is no longer illegal, right? It's like, okay, it's fine now. And this kind of brought me flashbacks to like, wow, people are still getting raided by the FBI, like legitimate founders. This is our most successful company this cycle. This is our most successful project.
Will we ever find out why they did it?
I'm sure. I'm sure this is going to court. I'm sure Shane has kind of like lawyers looking into this. So more details will emerge again. Right. Maybe, quote unquote, maybe there's a very good reason for this. But wow, the optics on this, I guess we'll have to see. All right, let's go to some better news, David. Give me the update on DevCon. So I've been watching from afar, but you're on the ground. So you've been attending the events. Like, first of all, let's do a vibe check. What's the vibe like in the Ethereum community?
DevCon is one of two events that the Ethereum Foundation organizes. The other one being DevConnect. And DevConnect is kind of like the mini version of DevCon anyways. And DevCon is always just, it's the deepest nerds of Ethereum who like see Ethereum as like this thing shepherding this future. It's like a lot of futarchy stuff. Robin Hanson was actually here this week. I met Robin Hanson this week. And it's a pretty like price agnostic conference. I remember going to DEF CON Bogota when ETH was like in the 1,000 digit range, you know, right after 3 hours capital, like still right ahead of FTX, actually. Prices were bad, but no one cared at Bogota. And now price is actually a lot higher. This is the highest ETH price that we've ever seen at a DEF CON. And once again, like no one really cares, actually. It's just like all these different like corners of Ethereum, which you kind of forget about, who are just researching in 100 different directions. A lot of cryptography things, a lot of EIPs, protocol upgrades, things that you kind of forget that Ethereum, the Ethereum Foundation, is investing in. A lot of DeSci, progressive cryptography, which I'm guessing most people don't even know what that is, but it's like this very futuristic version of cryptography that only Ethereum is really investing in. And I think my biggest takeaway is like, I frequently forget when I'm at home, like Ethereum, the EF is doing like these 10,000 different venture bets on research in very futuristic technologies that are taking somewhere between 5 and 15 years to have like fruition. But only the Ethereum Foundation is doing it. And that is like their whole process of like growth by subtraction, where the Ethereum Foundation wants to get smaller, but they're trying to like grow these little like movements in different directions. And it's all, this is the festival, the cultural festival of Ethereum, to kind of all see that all happen at once. And the vibes are always just super good. Everyone's just super optimistic. Ethereum is this optimistic technology. Everyone gets to come and hang out and be in the same spot. I think my favorite thing, actually, this is like kind of a side quest, but there was this music stage that was coordinated in like the lunchroom. So everyone can kind of go hang out and relax. And the EF put in just like music instruments, connected them to the speakers, piano, like saxophone, trumpet, drums. And they didn't get a band intentionally.
Yeah, I saw you tweet this.
They just like put up the stage, and then people who knew how to play music just went there and started jamming. And it sounded like a real band, but it was just like this very emergent coordination of like musicians. And I felt it was like pretty emblematic of like kind of what it feels like to be at an Ethereum conference.
That's so fascinating. Yeah. I've never gone, because as you know, I only go to one like conference a year, but like this would be the second one. I would love to go to. And I, you know, if it wasn't so far away,
You would nerd out. It's like a quarter of university classes crammed into 4 days, because you can go like there are eight stages, and they are all going at all times. And they're like, you can just fill your day with like talk after talk after talk.
I mean, I saw some of the talks too, super high quality stuff. I'm like learning things. Like, we do this all the time, the podcast. I was learning about a new roll-up improvement proposal that will like improve interoperability across like roll-ups without settling to the layer 2, RIP 7755, which I deep dove into this after one of the talks. I'm watching this from afar, but yeah, it seems great. One criticism of it from the outside has been like, okay, but these are all dreamers. You know, it's pie in the sky. It's research. They're very disconnected from the app layer and from like the builder. So it's all like deep cryptography, ivory tower, academics. But like, where are the apps? Where are the users? Like, you know, did you get what's your take on that kind of critique?
DEF CON has always been about protocols and standards and like kind of the deep tech stuff that is supposed to foster those things. I guess you could make the critique that like, yeah, now it's about time to look a little bit higher up the stack. But there's still a lot of like the investments I was saying in like these more futuristic technologies that are still many, many, many years out. Like, cryptography still has a lot to go when it comes to like what it can truly do. And so that's kind of the GigaBrain stuff that like I wouldn't even know existed if people like Barry Whitehat or Gubsheep or Vitalik weren't talking about it. And it's not all that. There is some app stuff. It's just like there's just a lot left to grow. There's a lot of technology left to squeeze the juice out of.
Number of things were released as well coming out of this. So ENS, the .eth domain names, are going to be building their own L2. So Namechain, it's called. Not a lot of details about this. There's some speculation it might be a based rollup, but we'll have to see.
Looked into that. I tried to ask around. Yeah. I didn't get a clear answer, because apparently it's like 80%-ish of a base rollup, and I don't know how that works or what that means, but I'm looking
forward
to details. Yeah.
Also, Espresso Network is launching, and Espresso is kind of a shared sequencer technology that is also working to defragment all the chains and unify all the chains. Mm-hmm. So that's cool. And then DeSci, decentralized science, getting a little bit of attention. This is CZ and Vitalik in the same room
talking about CZ decentralized. Was at DEF CON.
That's interesting. Some people you wouldn't expect, right? But you know, CZ at DEF CON is like something I didn't expect. Has he given any talks, or was he just attending side events?
I think it was just these DSI side events. I didn't know if he was actually here at the actual DEF CON conference. I did not see him.
The big thing, David, that escaped outside of DEF CON was this Justin Drake proposing the Beam chain. So I'm gonna get your take on this. Let's talk about this. So prior to DEF CON, Justin Drake tweeted an announcement of an announcement saying he had his personal biggest project ever that he was getting ready to announce. So there's a lot of speculation as to what that might be. I will tell you, from my perspective, I was kind of hoping this would be some sort of like native ZK rollups on Ethereum type of play, because to me, that's like the best representation of end stage Ethereum. So like, right. Expectations were high. These were even my expectations, like going into it. And what he talked about was something called the Beam chain instead. And we'll talk about maybe the reactions on the back of this presentation. But first of all, you were there and you live tweeted it. What is the Beam chain? What is Drake proposing here?
The Beam chain is an alternative way of looking at the Ethereum roadmap, where there have been and are a bunch of things on the Ethereum roadmap that Justin Drake is packaging up into what he's calling the Beam chain and proposing that we build and ship this thing all at once. So we are building a bunch of different features like single slot finality, 4 second block times, snarkifying the layer one, which is the very big hard thing to do, moving Ethereum into being quantum resistant, also like just a very big upgrade. And there are these things that we know that we have to do, packaging all of these upgrades once we figure out how to code it up, how to engineer
staking it. Too. I noticed this one. This is like lowering issuance and actually like making it so that validators can stake with one ETH.
Yes. And so packaging this all up, doing this all at once, and then kind of doing something like we did with the merge, where we pop out the Beacon chain and then we pop in the Beam chain, and all of a sudden we have the faster, efficient, more performant consensus layer for Ethereum. All of these things are already on the roadmap. Justin Drake is saying like, hey, there's a lot of this incremental stuff that's on the roadmap, things like censorship resistance, things like execution auctions, smarter issuance, all this kind of stuff. And we're going to let all that stuff be, and it's going to progress incrementally like we always do. And then also all the stuff that we can tackle all at once, let's package this up into one big thing and just ship it all at once. And so it's kind of a way to, I guess, to unbundle a part of the Ethereum roadmap and then rebundle everything that can be done all at once and do it again all at once. I think the thing that really tripped people up was the biggest thing was the timeline that he proposed for this, which was a 5-year timeline. And so there's like testing for a year. There's like, you know, syncing and coordination amongst the consensus clients for a year. You add all the parts that you need to do in order to make this happen. And it adds up to like 2029, 2030. And then also the packaging for it. Justin Drake did this announcement of an announcement about something he's been working on very hard. And inside of the context of the ETH BTC price being low, meme coins being on Solana, everyone's like, oh, the devs are going to do something. Like, we're going to fix Ethereum.
It's Ethereum 3.0.
It's Ethereum 3.0. Yeah, everything's going to be fixed. Like, we're going to have super strong execution on layer one, 1 second block times. And so that's what the anticipation was. The room was absolutely packed for Justin Drake's talk. Like, people couldn't get in. And so everyone was kind of expecting, with this announcement and this hype, to have this, like, the devs did something announcement, and we got this like 5-year update of like things that are already on the roadmap, and we're just going to package it up and ship it all at once. It wasn't exactly what people were hoping for. Nonetheless, it is very cool. It's like just adjacent. It's like kind of removed from what people were looking for in this like present context of crypto.
It felt more incremental, and I get the timeline up here. Of course, the full Beam implementation would be sort of over the 5 years, but every single year there was like work towards that, incremental work towards that, that would be like deployed into Ethereum. The other thing that I think tripped people up is this was, and even me, this is not like the full Ethereum 3.0, like the next gen Ethereum type of vision. This is just the consensus layer. So this had nothing to do with the execution layer, right? And so like ideally for me, when I'm thinking of the Ethereum that's 5 years away, it would be encompassing not just the Beam chain and consensus, which I think Justin did quite well, but also like, where's execution going? Where are my enshrined ZK EVM rollups? You know, like that's also what I want as part of this. And just because it was only the consensus layer, I think that left people like what this did not play well on Twitter is something I'll say. It's like really hard to kind of like package up.
No, yeah. A lot of people are like, why the hell does Ethereum have to have 5 years to ship a product? Like, what the hell are you guys doing? Just build it and ship it, which is like, in my mind, like a very naive take. This is a consensus layer upgrade to Ethereum. How many consensus clients does Ethereum have? 5, which means 5 consensus clients needs to build and ship this independently. And then they need to sync with each other because the consensus clients need to have consensus. So they have to test the connections between all the permutations of all the consensus clients. The reason why people are expecting, like, why can't we just ship this in like, you know, a year, 2 years? Well, maybe that's coming from the perspective of people who are working on a blockchain that only have one consensus client. And so that's why they're thinking this. Like, this is what a decentralized system looks like. If we want this thing, it's going to have, you know, rounds and rounds of testing on the blockchain with the majority of users and the majority of assets and the majority of TVL and smart contracting systems. And so, like, we're going to go slow and it's going to be careful. And so, the people who are like, deliver the product, it's like, join a Web2 company.
One thing I think to note about this presentation is it's just a proposal. This is how Ethereum works. So Justin was not, you know, staking out the roadmap. He was just like making a proposal. So there'll be some commentary on this and some back and forth and like maybe some merging with other ideas. Overall, I felt like it wasn't a bad proposal at all. It was bullish to me.
It's not what people were really looking for in this present moment. Like, sure, it's not. It's cool. Great.
The meme packaging was just like not ideal. We will be having Justin on Bankless to actually talk about that. Maybe we'll talk about the reception and maybe the broader idea of like, is Ethereum 3.0 a thing? Could it be a thing? If it was a thing, what could it include? So we'll be doing that soon as well.
All right, moving on to what's coming up next. Deutsche Bank has dropped a testnet to a ZK rollup settling to Ethereum. Who ever would have predicted that banks would use rollups to settle to Ethereum? Whoever said that? I have never heard that before. Blur is also voting on their fee switch, which is just giving more and more credence to this DeFi renaissance and how Phantom update, the Phantom wallet, cost some Phantom users millions and millions of dollars. Yikes. Make sure you write down your seed phrase, people. All of that coming up and more, but first a moment to talk about some of these fantastic sponsors that makes this show possible.
New projects are coming online to the Mantle Layer 2 every single week. Why is this happening? Maybe it's because Mantle has been on the frontier of Layer 2 design architecture since it first started building Mantle DA, powered by technology from EigenDA. Maybe it's because users are coming onto the Mantle Layer 2 to capture some of the highest yields available in DeFi, and to automatically receive the points and tokens being accrued by the $3 billion Mantle treasury in the Mantle reward station. Maybe it's because the Mantle team is one of the most helpful teams to build with, giving you grants, liquidity support, and venture partners to help bootstrap your Mantle application. Maybe it's all of these reasons all put together. So if you're a dev and you want to build on one of the best foundations in crypto, or you're a user looking to claim some ownership on Mantle's DeFi apps, click the link in the show notes to getting started with Mantle.
Centralized finance held all the power, but now DeFi gives it back to you. Enter the unlimited era with DYDX Unlimited, featuring instant market listings where you can list and trade any market instantly with liquidity. Experience trading like never before with all the trading tools you know and love all on chain. And then there's Mega Vault, your gateway to automatic liquidity and yield. Just deposit some USDC and start earning yield immediately. It's so simple, and DYDX Unlimited comes packed with so much more. Leverage, prediction market perpetual futures, instant deposits, and there's even a revamped trading rewards program to get rewarded for every time you make a trade. So go ahead and check out DYDX on Twitter at DYDX to get notified once DYDX Unlimited launches.
Launching a token? Worried about the IRS? Talk to Toku for 5 minutes to learn how to save hundreds of thousands of dollars for you, your team, and your investors. Now, if you do an initial consultation, Toku will cover the cost of your token valuation, which is what you need for your launch. So don't wait. Reach out to the team right now at team@toku.com. That's team@toku.com.
Coming in hot, Aptos, Arbitrum, Avalanche, Optimism, and Polygon are the new blockchains that will host BlackRock's new Biddle Fund. Biddle is being shipped on all of these different blockchains. Carlos Domingo, the Securitize CEO, said, with these new chains, we'll start to see more investors looking into leveraging the underlying technology to increase efficiencies on all things that we do now. The BlackRock Biddle Fund, of course, on the Ethereum Layer 1 is now moving to its Layer 2s. And also Aptos. Interestingly that they added Aptos because Arbitrum, Avalanche, Optimism, Polygon, all EVM chains.
Yeah, one of these Aptos, are not like the other.
Aptos is a move chain, a move layer one. Yeah. So they decided to go out of the way to support a completely different execution environment. And that's like custom code. They couldn't just copy and paste their code. So congratulations to Aptos, I guess.
Yeah, it's a big win. Also, Franklin Templeton is expanding. Did you know they weren't on Ethereum? Now they are. So they had a money market as well, similar to the Biddle Fund. It was started on Stellar, I believe. It's available on some other blockchains, and they are expanding to Ethereum as well. The big news that you were talking about before the break was Deutsche Bank. So they have launched a ZK chain testnet on Ethereum. Deutsche Bank is one of those big banks, David. They've got $1.5 trillion worth of assets. Okay, so these are big banks. So some key features here, a soulbound token-based digital identity. So they got the AML KYC via soulbound NFT, paymaster functionality. They're going to have their own block explorer. And also it's going to be private as well, with interop to other private chains and, of course, the rest of the Ethereum ecosystem. So this is on the ZK Sync stack. This is a pretty big win for
the Elastic chain. ZK Sync. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah. So
can we go through some of this stuff? A soulbound digital token identity. So they're going to have users on chain that they are going to have KYC. They're going to know their users. Yep. Paymaster functionality. What does that mean? They're paying for gas for their users. Custom built block explorer. Like, that's just a front end for their users, like assets and accounts and all of that stuff. Tokenized fund creation and issuance. Okay, they're going to put the funds on the ZK chain. And then interoperability capabilities. I don't know what that means. That's like a whole entire bank ecosystem. Well, on a chain.
Do you remember this idea? And it's like, we've seen many blockchain bank projects in the past that just like didn't make sense. Now they're starting to make sense. And do you remember that meme from like, I don't know, it was like 10 years ago or something like this, which is the basic idea that, private blockchains, all the banks, all the financial institutions would have their version of a local area network, like a LAN, that connected to the wide area network, the internet, right? And so each of them would have their own private blockchains that were connected to the public Ethereum network. Now it's actually in the early stages of maybe starting to happen.
Because they all tried to do layer ones. It makes a ton of sense when they are layer twos.
Yes. A decade later, it's starting to make sense now.
And also when they don't have to build their own blockchain tech and they let people like Alex Glukowski do it for them. Blur, the NFT platform that came and ate OpenSea's lunch, has a proposal to turn on the fee switch. And VE Blur tokenomics. So a 0.5% fee on trading is potentially being turned on if the Blur token holders wish it so, which is pretty cool. And again, it's a big plus one to the idea of a DeFi renaissance. So congratulations to Blur token holders if you guys do decide to turn that thing on.
You got to imagine too, OpenSea's looking at this. They're waiting for their Wells notice to evaporate before they issue a token. I mean, that's got to happen, right,
they
David?
Got a Wells notice.
Yeah, like, but anyway, this is why there's going to be a token renaissance, some sort of DeFi renaissance, is because just like Gary Gensler is going to be gone.
Meme coins again. It's meme coins.
Meme coins, all right.
It's meme coins.
Well, this week it is. This is some interesting news. Bitwise is planning to expand their business. They just acquired an ETH staking service company called Attestant. Attestant's been in the space for a while. You remember Jim McDonald from Attestant? He was talking about ETH staking like years before the Beacon Chain actually launched and ETH staking was a thing. He was kind of an early thought leader. He was one of the co-founders of Attestant. They provide non-custodial staking services, okay? So if you stake with Attestant, you're not giving them custody, you're not giving up your private keys, you still have all the withdrawal credentials, access to your private keys. All they do is they just run the boxes rather than you running the boxes out of your house. So they've been providing the service for a while. Now, Bitwise, again, issuers of an Ethereum ETF have acquired this self-custodial staking company. And you got to imagine, David, that they are just looking and they're seeing the potential for an ETH staked ETF that could be coming in the future.
That's the only kind of math that I see. An Ether ETF issuer buys an Ether staking organization. I can't imagine any other outcome. What do you get when you put those two things together?
Exactly. This is Steve Berryman from Attestant saying, staking is a major selling point for Ethereum. It would allow ETF investors to earn about 4% per year by having exposure to ETH through a fund. So even the Attestant folks are kind of alluding to this possibility in the future. So more infrastructure being developed there.
Ryan, guess what happened this week?
I know prices went up, but what else?
MicroStrategy acquires another 27,200 Bitcoins. They bought more Bitcoin. MicroStrategy bought more Bitcoin. Another week. Bought $2 billion of it. Is this part of his $34 billion plan or however much, $42 billion plan?
I can't keep track of it. Just like if there's Bitcoin available in the market and Michael Saylor has money, he just goes and buys the Bitcoin. Like,
dude, how can any token compete with Michael Saylor's infinite money? He has infinite money, bro.
I don't know. He's just like the bull of all bulls. He is like a Bitcoin burn engine in and of himself, right? Bitcoiners don't have the burn as a mechanism. They have Michael Saylor instead. He's just like chomping on all of that, you know, additional issuance. So I don't think he's going to stop until he's you know, like done. And I don't know when he's going to be done. Did you see this though this week, David? This was very unfortunate. Okay. So looks like, here's a tweet, looks like a new Phantom update cleared everyone's wallet in the app. Retail cooked. Okay, so this is a screen that says, welcome to Phantom, as if you're installing it for the first time. So what happened is a whole bunch of people have the Phantom wallet. Many of them skew retail because they're doing meme coin stuff on Solana, that kind of thing, right? And they, when they set up the wallet, they don't back up their seed phrase. You know, you get that, because 12, 24 word seed phrase. And what surprises me of some wallets, apparently Phantom, it doesn't have a required option to like back it up on your device or like back it up into iCloud or something like that. Apparently you can bypass that. And it's just like, hey, did you write it down? And you're like, yes, I wrote it down. And then, you know, it proceeds. Anyway, yeah, what happened was there was an update, an auto update. So if you had your auto updates on Phantom, it sort of reinstalled the application and like deleted your private keys.
A fresh copy. No, didn't store any of the data.
So if you didn't have your seed phrase, again, these are bearer assets. This is cryptocurrency. Yeah. This is what it means to have the responsibility to go bankless. It was just gone. So there are reports of people losing $1 million. Again, this is skewing meme coins. So who knows? When the person set it up, maybe they weren't thinking. Maybe they were early on crypto. Maybe they just, you know, put $1,000 in, didn't expect it to grow as fast, and just didn't get around to the seed phrase thing. But people lost a lot of money like this. Reports of 50,000, reports of hundreds of thousands. One guy said $1 million that was gone as a result of this update. Can you imagine just like waking up, looking at your phone,
getting
and just
$1 million yoinked?
God, that's so painful.
You don't have to pay taxes on that, do you?
It's kind of a boating accident type of incident, you know, with the IRS. Right. It's like, yeah, prove it's, you know, like prove you don't have the private keys. How do you do that? How do you prove you don't have the private keys?
Yeah, wow, yikes. God. Nightmare fuel, dude. This is a call to action. If you have a wallet that you use on your phone, go just double check that. If you've written down those private keys, just make sure you've done that.
Yeah, good PSA. And hopefully wallet providers like require this a bit more moving forward. One of which does, which launched last week, is a new wallet called Avera. This is in the Ethereum ecosystem. This is from the Aave family of applications.
Okay, so Aave building out its third product. First, Aave, the DeFi protocol. Second, Lens, the social protocol. And now, Avera, the wallet.
I love, like, Stani and team just don't stop shipping. Don't stop building. Actually, I downloaded this. It's really good, David. Mm-hmm. Like, complete chain abstraction, crossed all chains. Like it's a fantastic user experience. Very easy to set up. It does like back up seed phrase again, like automatically doesn't let you go through without it stores it through like a passcode on the phone, or you could also back it up to iCloud. So it doesn't have the issue that we were just mentioning. It's a pretty good UX. Okay. Well, David, I know you're tired, man. We're gonna let you get some sleep, but I got to show.
I've never done a podcast at 1 a.m. before.
Yeah, dude, I'm sure you're exhausted after a week of conferences. Yeah. By the way, for Bankless listeners, this man just had food poisoning, okay, in Thailand. I don't know if I was supposed to share that. I should, okay, but like, I want them to see the dedication. We do not miss a roll-up, okay? We never
actually, the
miss
number
a
of people that had food poisoning at DEF CON is like kind of too high.
It's too high.
It's like everyone kind of gets their turn.
Well, meme of the week, we just have Elon Musk's tweet. With the Department of Government Efficiency, Doge. He actually has a logo. It's a cute, like,
with
Doge
dog
icon.
On it.
I can't believe this is real life. Elon Musk launching.
If you're wondering why
like,
Doge is up
in the
like
government.
40% on the week or whatever,
this is why. This is why. Anyway, meme coins are risky, but so are Bitcoin, so are ETH. You could lose what you put in. We are headed west. This is the frontier. It's not for everyone, but we're glad you're with us on the bankless journey. Thanks a lot.